On the line with us is Davin Coburn in New York City. He is with Popular Mechanics magazine. Popular Mechanics has expanded on the series of articles they've had about the 9/11 and what they call the 9/11 myths. They have expanded it into a book. The book is called Debunking 9/11 Myths, Why Conspiracy Theories Can't Stand Up to the Facts. The foreword to 9/11 Myths, by the way, is by our senior snowy-haired senator from Arizona, Senator John McCain. And, Davin, thanks very much for being on our show this morning.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm going to let callers and listeners who are particularly concerned with this have at you on the show. I'll give you give the phone number to them. 602-277-KFNX is the phone number, 602-277-5369. First of all, what is your job at Popular Mechanics, and why are you speaking with me?
Sure, I'm the research editor here at the magazine. I was an original reporter on the magazine piece in the March 2005 issue, and then my role for this book was largely to fact-check the material in it.
All right.
To make sure that everything there was accurate.
All right, that sounds good to me. Now, I think I think of it from the perspective of being a magazine editor, it's a perfectly good subject. It's a really juicy, it's a really delicious subject. But there are those who go, what the hell does Popular Mechanics know about it? Why did they decide to make this a cause célèbre?
Sure. Well, the reason that we went after it is that being here in New York, we'd heard all sorts of rumors. We'd heard various theories and, you know, people questioning what happened on September 11th. And we thought, you know, if there's any truth to these rumors, if there is information that hasn't been given to the public, if there are things that need to be looked into, that we were the perfect people to do that with our history in structural engineering and our examination of construction and demolition and our background in aviation and some of the other things that we specialize in. We were able to sort of pick through the politics and just look at the basic facts of what happened on that morning.
All right, well, you said something intriguing there. Is there information that has not been given to the public?
I think very little, because, you know, we've had so many different people, everyone from reporters to structural engineers to professors at colleges and universities to people who've put together what are considered sort of official reports on the issue, even though they're not, government employees. I think there is actually very little that isn't, that has been held back, at least as far as the basic facts of what happened that morning in terms of the material that we looked into.
Well, I was under the impression that there were a lot of facts that were withheld. I mean, the surveillance videos, for example, around the Pentagon that we were told about. There was their hotel video, a convenience store video, and we haven't seen those. They were apparently swooped up and grabbed really quickly, or so the report goes.
So the report does go, and actually that is the case, and those have been taken as part of larger criminal investigations. Slowly those are now being disclosed, and those are coming out into the public, you know, with the Judicial Watch material.
Well, I talked to guys at Judicial Watch. They're not real happy about it. I mean, they released four frames that don't really show anything.
Well, those frames, you're right, those frames actually don't show very much, considering that, you know, the frame rate on that camera was about one frame a second, and the plane was moving, Flight 77 was moving about 780 feet per second. From that distance, it's actually not surprising that there wasn't a whole lot caught on that video.
Are you telling me that's the only video?
No, I suspect there are other videos. I suspect that they're still being used for various investigations. I don't know exactly how.
Well, what the hell's to investigate? They told us who the guys were. They held on some of that stuff for the Carius Moussaoui trial, for love of God. I mean,
right.
like it was really relevant to his trial. I mean, what the hell? It's 5 years later. When are the American people entitled to the evidence?
I think there is plenty of evidence that exists out there to explain.
Well, it's not the evidence that we've seen that we're concerned about. It's the evidence we haven't seen. Does that make any sense?
Oh, sure, it makes sense. You know, I think for the purposes of what we looked into, the evidence actually exists. There are the sources exist. The first responders exist to talk to these people to examine what happened on that morning. You know, and you were asking about the focus of our article. From what we looked into, the evidence is abundant. It's not, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there that we could fashion an article in this book off.
It's the dog that didn't bark. Maybe. I mean, we know that the evidence that we've seen is the evidence that we've seen. that doesn't cause any suspicion so much as the evidence that we don't see. And, you know, it's not helpful in this country with a very secretive government when a big, powerful magazine like you guys, who owns Popular Mechanics?
Hearst.
Okay, when Hearst Corporation, with all of your might, instead of joining the people in their natural curiosity to see all the evidence, you try to say, oh, shut up, you peons don't know what you're talking about, everything's fine, you don't need, keep on moving, there's nothing to see here. Hearst should be using their influence to get all the evidence released, and that will end all the conspiracy talk.
Right. Well, you know, I actually disagree with your take on our approach to that article there. I think our approach, the article was started, as I mentioned, because we were curious to see if there was truth behind these theories and all the questions. You know, what we've heard a lot is people saying we're just trying to keep an open mind, and we fully support that. But what we've also found is that when people ask questions, they have to be willing to listen to the answers.
Yeah, well, I'm okay with that, but I want to come back to the unseen evidence, the dog that didn't bark. I mean, where are you on these? I mean, you guys have got a lot of muscle. Where are you in lobbying for the release of all the evidence to put an end to all this madness, speculation, and distrust?
I think that we would like to see as much evidence presented as possible. Frankly, it's not up to us information the government discloses.
Did I say it was up to you? No, I said use your influence to get the authorities. Look, the authorities are sitting on... Is there something that we don't know about this that they have to hide from us? No. Or so I presume. We're told who did it. We've invaded two countries in response to it. We spent hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, what could possibly be secretive now?
How can I answer the question if it's evidence?
Because you don't know. Yeah, you don't know. We just want to see the evidence. I mean, if the plane flew into the building, show us the damn pictures. I mean, what could that possibly hurt? Speculate.
I can't possibly speculate on evidence that I haven't seen.
Uh-huh. All right. The only thing that that is a particular... The thing, I suppose, that is of most interest to me in the series about what happened that day, the one that's the most interesting is... Building 7. It may not be the most interesting, but it's the first one I turned to. And I read Popular Mechanics' response to it, in which you represent as a little bit confusing, but you represent that there is a third of the face. You're quoting Sunder. There is a third of the face to the center and to the bottom, approximately 10 stories, about 25% of the depth of the building that was scooped out beforehand.
Right. When the North Tower collapsed, all of the debris and the wreckage from that collapse actually took a massive chunk out of World Trade Center 7. And at the first time that, you know, FEMA released its initial report, that wasn't entirely clear. It wasn't known exactly how much damage that building had sustained because, you know, obviously no plane hit that. It was, you know, sort of standing off to the side and then eventually collapsed. And what we found through the NIST report and through talking to other experts was that, like you said, about 25% of the building's south face had been carved away from it. And World Trade Center 7 had a particularly unique construction because it was built over a Con Edison electrical substation. So when they built it up above that, the way that they aligned the steel columns made them particularly load-bearing. That's not a very good way to say it, but they were each supporting an awful lot of weight. And so when you start carving away at those, you know, each column that you remove that was destroyed by the wreckage from the North Tower.
Well, as I describe myself, Devin, I'm an agnostic about a lot of this. And that would be very persuasive to me if it were true. And it may or may not be true. Because I look at, so I go, oh, that's interesting. If that's true, then that would go a long ways to explaining what happened to Building 7. So I turn to the pictures in your book about Building 7. You got a picture of Building 7, but it doesn't show that. So I'm going, okay, well, instead of just somebody asserting that a third of the building was scooped away, show me the picture. But you don't show me the picture.
Well, you know, here again, there's an interesting issue that you brought up before. We have seen pictures, actually. There are pictures that are the property of the New York Police Department and other various governmental agencies that we were not given permission to disseminate. And that gets back to your original question. I cannot speak for
But you got to see it. Popular Mechanics got to see him, but the average American citizen can't see him.
Correct.
Well, that's a fine kettle of fish, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And that, I guess, gets back to, you know, us trying to do our homework and having the authority to see the pictures, though what we are allowed to show everyone else, what is chosen to become public domain, isn't necessarily our question.
So, did you see him?
Yes.
There's some do we have to kill you now?
Let's hope not.
Well, I mean, explain it to me. What did you see there that that I can't see?
Actually, it was pretty much just what was described.
It must be something that would be dangerous for me as an American citizen or a voter to see.
I cannot, you know, tell you again why.
Your publishers, I mean, if anybody's concerned about evidence in a criminal case or something, they've done the worst possible thing. They showed it to a damn magazine publisher.
Right, and that was done for the purposes of our background research, so we could...
What about my background research? What about my background research? Do you see the source of my frustration here? I didn't know we had different classes of citizens. You can't tell me it's because there's a criminal case, because they've showed it to a damn magazine publisher.
I'm actually not telling you anything about the information.
I know,
but... I can't answer that question.
I know you can't.
Right?
All right, let me go to the phones. Mike in Phoenix is first this morning on the show. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. You know, Robert Baer, a senior CIA man from the Middle East, in the preface to his book, See No Evil, page Roman numeral 19, says that a reporter friend of his was talking to a very senior CIA person who said, in years to come, what happened on 9/11 will be seen as a success and not a failure of intelligence.
Hearsay, hearsay, hearsay.
Yeah, well, but coming from, you know, someone with many years of CIA experience.
Do you have a question, though, for Gavin from Popular Mechanics?
I do, but, you know, Building 7, I think, is the real Achilles heel of all this. Larry Silverstein, the man who presciently took out... an enormous insurance policy a couple months before 9/11 on the building that he had just, on the complex that he had just leased for 99 years, said that on PBS that there had been so much death and destruction that day, a decision was made, and they decided, meaning the New York Fire Department, they decided to pull the building, Building 7. How did they pull Building 7?
Actually, that's a great question, and the answer is that they didn't. That quote has been kicked around by conspiracy theorists over and over, and having spoken to Silverstein, having spoken to any number of large controlled demolition firms, including those that are accused of carrying out, this crime, that people think these buildings were detonated as opposed to collapsing the way that they did, the term pull it is not a demolition term. Yeah, you know, people have judged, but I'm sorry?
Since when is it not a demolition term? That's the only term, the only context I've heard it used in.
We have never heard it used that way, and neither actually have, you know, the people who do this professionally that we spoke to. We have heard it, in fact, used in firefighting. We have used it as a term for people pulling firefighters out of a building, which actually directly.
Yeah, but you know, they say if you want to pull the crew out of a building, you say pull them. You don't say pull it.
Well,
you want to pull human beings, you say pull them. Pull them out.
The only context we can find in which the term pull would be used in a demolition sense is if you actually attach huge machines or cranes to the side of a building and actually drag it down, just exactly like you were toppling a tree.
Yeah, but when you pull human beings, when you represent Silverstein says, that, oh, I wanted the crews to come out. When you pull human beings, you say pull them. Pull them. I mean, it's normal every day, and you don't say pull it.
Unless he was talking about a brigade.
Yeah, that's right. That's how people talk. Hang on. Short break. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And this final check, if you're the 9/11 myth debunking business and have a new book out called Debunking 9/11 Myths, back to the phones. Pete in Phoenix this morning. Pete.
Good morning, Charles. I just took a quick look in the dictionary, since the dictionary usually is the place where you go for definitions. This is Webster's New World College Dictionary. And under the definition for the word pull, they have a lot of different variants on how pull is used in English. And under the definition, under the variation pull down, because pull is short for pull down.
Okay, but let's move on from that, because we spent a lot of time on that. We're going to run out.
Well, it's clear. It says pull down.
I understand, but we're going to run out of time. Got anything else?
What about the seven to nine hijackers that were reported in the British press who came forward and said, we're alive. What are we doing on the FBI's list of so-called hijackers? We're alive and well. How did they explain that one?
Actually, my explanation for that is that I have read that one BBC report that claims
it's
to have
more than one BBC report.
But actually, it's not. That's the one thing that we've found, and that was absolutely one of those things that we looked into, I promise you. I mean, that would be...
Are you saying that that's false?
I am saying that is false.
Okay, how did you verify that?
Have you seen any other reports beyond...
Let me ask you my question again. How did you verify it's false?
Because
you don't want to believe it's true?
Okay, Pete, you asked him a question. Now let's find out what his answer is. Real simple question. How did you verify that the British story was false?
The remains of the hijackers, who have been widely understood to have been on those planes, have been...
What remains?
There was DNA evidence collected all over the place.
The building was incinerated, the concrete was turned into powder. There were molten pools of steel in the bottom of the building that were still hot weeks after, and they were able to do autopsies on bodies?
Have you seen photos of these hijackers that you're talking about?
Where are the autopsy reports you're referring to? On the hijackers. Where are those reports? I haven't heard anything about autopsy.
Particularly out of the Pentagon, actually.
I want to know where, even if we presume that you're correct that they recovered the DNA of the 19 hijackers from the rubble, where did they get their original DNA against which to match it?
My point...
No, don't go to your point. Go to my point. Where did they get the original DNA of a bunch of Middle Eastern Islamic madmen? Where'd they get the DNA? Had they submitted the DNA before they... where the hell did they get it? You're not even talking sensibly with me.
Off the top of my head, I don't know the answer to that.
Of course you don't.
I'll get back to you with it.
Is that a promise?
I will do my best.
People all across the state of Arizona now are hearing Davin Coburn say on the show that he's going to find out how they got that DNA check against those Islamic terrorists who had shaved their bodies naked to hijack those planes. Okay, good. I'd like to hear it. Now do you understand why people... scratch their head when these kinds of representations are made?
No, actually, I don't. May I ask the caller a question?
No.
Okay.
All right. you don't understand why when you tell us that they found the hijackers' DNA remains amongst the molten steel, and I ask you, where did they get the original DNA from the hijackers to match it against? Do you think that's bizarre to ask a question like that? Do you think it's conspiratorial just to want to know?
I think the way that you're framing it is not...
How will you frame it differently, but get to the same issue for me? How would you frame it?
I think I would take a different take on the entire question.
Well, okay, there's DNA evidence. You told me they have DNA evidence that matches the hijackers.
I think that the entire question, however, is baseless. I think that it is not even a question that is worth answering.
Well, you're the one that told me they had the DNA evidence.
You're the one who wouldn't let me approach the question from the way that I would answer it.
Well, go ahead and approach it.
And that is that if that report, if these men are still alive,
right.
Why have we not seen any news reports?
Can I answer that for you?
Sure.
Okay, I don't know the answer. That's my answer. Now, let me ask you a question in the same spirit. You told me that they've checked their DNA. Where did they get the original DNA to check it again? You're the one with the answers. I'm not. I just have questions.
And I'm telling you that actually... A 7-year-old can ask why
This is the worst attack on America in the history of this country. We've invaded two countries, maybe a third because of it. We're going to spend trillions of dollars. It's not a 7-year-old asking why. I want to know where they got the evidence that they matched it again. What's so hard about that?
The way that you're framing it is intentionally...
Of course it is. Because it's 5 years later and we haven't heard the answer. And you haven't given it to us in Popular Mechanics. I swear to God, that's it. You see, it's the way I'm framing it makes it an illegitimate question. Well, tell me how to reframe it. Tell me how to ask it differently.
I would start entirely over with the question that gentleman asked. And I would say,
I want the question I asked.